I want to share with you a message today about a great man of God, a great father. And so I want you to take your Bibles back with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua, if you just took a little time to study this guy, as far as from a military standpoint, he was one of the great military people that God ever had to do the things that he was commissioned to do. And so we're going to take a little time this morning and look at this great man of God. And by doing so, I want to do what Anderson did just a couple of minutes ago. I want to reread these verses, and then we're going to do like we've done recently. We're going to start at the end and go back. Verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I want to play a little mind game with you here for just a couple of minutes, and I want to ask you what basically comes to your mind when you think of the word father. You know, what comes to mind? Does the idea of discipline? You know, some say my dad was a disciplinarian and we toe the line and so forth and so on. Or do you think of the word leader? That your father was a leader in that household? Or do you think of the word head? That there was a headship there? Or do you think of the word provider? Or maybe stern? Or maybe that your house was just so full of joy and delight, and your dad was one of those guys who cracked those corny jokes. What do you think of when you think of the name Father? Father. You know, Joshua's name had tremendous meaning. Joshua's name meant, "God is my salvation." And Joshua was commissioned to deliver the children of Israel. That was his role and responsibility, to be a deliverer. So he became a sort of savior, if you will, for the people. That's what God wanted him to do and wanted him to be. And so what I want to do after we get through this introduction is I want to give us a little background. And so by doing so, I want you to go to the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. The last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And as you do, you will see that Joshua was chosen or called by God. You know, sometimes we frown upon the idea of being called by God because of the way people use the terminology sometimes, but really it's actually a biblical calling. And I've had people ask me over the years, you know, I've been doing talks for well over 40 years, you know, starting the age of 14, my first one in St. Louis, Missouri, and people have asked me over the years, you know, how were you called into the ministry? And while you choose your vocation, there is a sense in which God puts you where he wants you to be if you're open to where he would lead you to be. And so I believe I've seen that over those years. And Joshua was specifically called by God, chosen by God. And so I want you to see that in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Look at verse 5. "We know Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord." Look at verse 9. "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses has laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him, as did the Lord, and as the Lord had commanded Moses." Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. You'll see this specific calling here that Joshua is chosen by God himself. Again, the death of Moses happened in verse 1. "Moses, my servant, is dead, a great man of God himself. Therefore, you, Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place," I love this verse, "every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." In other words, whatever I call you or choose you to do, I've already given that to Moses. Now I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to commission you. I'm going to choose you. I'm going to have you do what I need done. The second thing we notice about Joshua is the tremendous positive example that he was and a positive leader. Again, we're in the Old Testament, so take your Bibles to the book of Numbers and go with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And you remember, I'm confident, where God sent 12 spies from the 12 tribes, one individual who would go and he would spy out the land. And so we have Joshua who came from one particular tribe as you go down there and you look through these 12 tribes. But let's look at verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now think about that. 40 days they looked over the land. 40 days. 40 days. And they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They showed them the fruit of the land, flowing with milk and honey. Wow, that's some good stuff right there. If you have been maybe eating manna, you know what the word manna means? Actually, it's a question. What is it? That's what manna means. What is it? And so they've been doing that, and here they see this land which flows with milk and honey. And they bring that report back. All right, you got that in your mind? 27. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Verse 28, the first word is an uh-oh. Uh-oh. Nevertheless. Wait a minute, we just told you all the positive, okay? Nevertheless. Here's the naysayer. The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The descendants of Anak were literal giants. Literally. I don't know if you saw the picture a little over a year ago of the guy that played for the University of South Florida. He's like 7'6". And this reporter, this young lady, this gal, came up to him, and she's like 5'1". Wow! And to her, that was a giant. Hey, what are we kidding around? To me, that's a giant, all right? And to Mark Young, that's a real giant, okay? But look at the sizes. You were just minding your own business, weren't you? Yeah. Well, keep your mask on. You look better. All right. And so the giants were there, and they saw the giants. They saw the big people. They saw the city that how it was fortified. They saw all of that. Keep reading with me. Verse 30. Then Caleb, who was with Joshua, quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession. Watch this. For we are well able to overcome it. Two of the 12 spies said, wait a minute. 10 of you are given a negative report, but the two of us, we're given a positive report. And I want you to know that Joshua and Caleb had the right mindset. They had the right thought process. Just as we learned at 9 o'clock that God is able. What's God able to do? More than we ask or think. You know what our problem is so many times? We don't really believe God is B-I-G. And we really don't. 130,000 people in Warren County, and we have all these empty spaces in this room. I don't understand that. We don't really believe God's big. We kind of keep God in a box. So God, we don't want you to get out of that box. These two guys believed, and they were positive thinkers. We need fathers who will lead their families with positivity. who will not tell their children, you can't do that, you can't do that, you're not tall enough to do that, you're not going to be able to do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. And you know what? They can't, because they've heard from Daddy, I can't do it. And so they don't, and they won't. Doug knows this name that I'm fixing to pour out here on you. Zig Ziglar, Doug, you know what I'm talking about. He was referred to as America's number one flea trainer. Think about this for a minute. What do fleas do? Man, they jumping everywhere, all over the place. You have any pets? You probably got some fleas somewhere. If you got an outdoor dog and you let it come in once in a while, which we mistakenly do when Caden's with us, it comes in, all right? And sometimes it because it's been outdoors, it has fleas. You know what happens if you put six fleas into a jar and you put the lid on it for a certain amount of time? Those fleas jump up there and hit that jar and hit that lid, and they can't get out and they can't get loose and they can't get away. After a period of time, did you know that you can take the lid off of that jar and they won't jump out? You know why? They've been conditioned. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And after a while, that's what happens to us. The world beats us down, kicks us around, knocks us down, and says, you can't do that. You can't fill up your building. What are you talking about? This is 2020. People aren't interested in God. Nobody cares about the Bible. Who wants to know about Jesus? We've hit that top so many times that now, a lot of times, we don't even try. We need fathers who are positive as they lead their children to victory. Look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 30. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 30. Here's what it says. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. Only Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they believed that God was B-I-G. Now Joshua followed the guidelines. He followed the boundaries. He followed what he needed to do, because here's what God told him. And I want you to see this in Joshua 1, 6 through 9, because there are parameters. There are guidelines that we have to follow in order to be God wants us to be. And here's what he tells him in 1, 6 through 9. Watch this. Be strong and of good courage. For this people shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Again, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do, here's the action word, to do, according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Don't turn from the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. 9, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. From the very beginning, God told Joshua, you will be victorious. You will be successful. You will be exactly what I want you to be. You'll be able to lead the children of Israel if you do it according to the boundaries or the guidelines that I give you. And he did. He did. Look at Joshua chapter 23. We're gonna fast forward a little bit here for time's sake, to Joshua chapter 23. We're going to look at the last two chapters of Joshua here for a few moments. Joshua chapter 23, as he gets to the end of what God has commissioned him to do as far as being what he wants him to be, he addresses the nation of Israel. And I want you to see the first four verses of chapter 23. Joshua 23, 1 through 4. Now, you got to love these first four or five words. Number one, watch this. Now it came to pass. Now, let me just toss this out. What we are going through in the world with the virus, I'm going to tell you this right now. It will pass. Amen? Amen. See, we have to understand that. We have to know that. We have to realize that. We don't want to get bogged down and let it control every aspect of our lives where we are paralyzed by fear. It will pass. All the things that God told Joshua, it says in this verse, it came to pass. A long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all of their enemies round about that, Joshua was old and advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I'm old and advanced in age. Watch 3. Don't miss 3. Don't miss Joshua 23:3. Circle it. Make a mental note of it. Do something with it special, but watch 3. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. I'm telling you, if you are a committed, dedicated, consecrated, New Testament child of God, a child of the King, God is fighting for you. Because he knows you're fighting for him. Joshua knew that. That's why he was so successful. Because he knew God was fighting for the people of Israel. Fighting for them. Longing for victory. Getting them to the promised land. Getting them there where it flowed with milk and honey. See, I've divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I've cut off as far as the great sea westward. What was Joshua's message, his farewell message to Israel? You see it on the screen? His message to Israel is simply this: stay faithful to the one true God. That was his message in chapter 23. Now we come to chapter 24. And in Joshua 24, he begins to review the history of Israel, beginning with Abraham. He remembers the covenants and the agreements and the testaments that were made back so many years ago with Abraham. And he recalls that, and he brings that to their remembrance. He wants them to remember that covenant that was made at Shechem, as you see in the heading of your Bible there. And so what Joshua does in this last chapter, you see it on the screen, he challenges the people to put away the idolatry that they had adopted from Egypt and serve the one true and living God. And so, I may not read all of this, but I want you to see chapter 24, verses 14 through 26. Well, as a matter of fact, we are going to read all of it. I changed my mind, all right? Joshua 24, 14 through 26. So you'll need to follow along, or you'll need to make a mental note of this, or on your device, whatever you have. Let's look at this together. Let's read this together. We have the time to do it this morning, so we're going to do that. Hey, after all, we got an extra 30 minutes, right? And a lot of you probably didn't know that that was so we could have a longer sermon. We fooled you, didn't we? But we got you here, all right? I'm just kidding about that. It won't be much longer. All right, verse 14 of chapter 24. We're going to read through 26, so follow along. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites or the Canaanites, who that basically referred to, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did these great signs in your sight and preserved us all in the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. 18. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, watch this, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant. He made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua, watch this, wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. That's the background. I want to toss out three challenges to fathers in the room today. The first one's at the bottom of the screen. Just as Joshua asked the people to the one true God, we need fathers today who will stay faithful to God till the end. Until your heart, as it slows down, and as my dear old dad, I wished he was still here so I could tell him Happy Father's Day. But they called me one morning about 5 a.m. and said, Mr. Hall, your dad's taking a turn for the worse. And his heart is slowing down. And I got my clothes on and got in my car and headed out of Warren County just as quickly as I could. And before I ever got out of the county, his heart stopped beating. But you know when it did, you know what I know? He was faithful till the end. Now it's on me to be faithful to the end. Number two, it's on me, it's on you fathers to deliver your family to God. That's your role, R-O-L-E, that's your role. You are the man of the house. Some ladies say, I don't like that terminology. Well, you need to go back to Genesis chapter 3 if you don't like it and see what Eve did, because Eve fell first. Eve was the one who took the forbidden fruit first and then gave it to Adam to eat. And as a result of that, that's the way it happens. You are the head. And number three, just lead your family. Lead your family. Father's Day is bittersweet. I know there are people in this room who maybe haven't had a good physical relationship with their father, and this sermon just tears them all to pieces. I'm sorry about that. I really am. I had a good father, so I can't identify with that. I'm trying to be a good father. I've got two outstanding, adorable daughters that are beautiful in every way. Heard from one already on FaceTime this morning so that I could open my gift. And my other beautiful daughter has already made me a chocolate pie. What more could she do? Well, I got some ideas, but you know, that's great. That's what, lead your family. Some of you will know this name. The younger ones in the room, I want you to Google it when you go home today. Bob Dylan. In 1968, I was almost 10, recorded a song, and I want you to listen to these words very, very closely. The name of the song was, "You're Gonna Serve Somebody." You may serve the devil, you may serve the Lord, but you're gonna serve somebody. About 6,000 years ago, Joshua stood before a large number of people and he said, choose this day whom you're gonna serve. Either the God of heaven or the gods, little g. That's our choice this morning and today. As we get ready to sing our song of inspiration and encouragement, we could have a revolution in this church if we can get fathers, grandfathers, mentors to stand up and say, I'm going to lead my family to God. And if you're in a position this morning where you faltered and failed in that, ask for forgiveness. Tell God you're going to do better with His help. And you can. The thing that will cure us more than anything else is the blood of Jesus. And that's what we're going to sing about. And if you need the blood of Jesus applied through baptism or a reappropriation through a commitment this morning, that opportunity is available right now. Chris, let's stand and let's sing.